he frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing. Hey guys, you might remember going back to June of 2021, I did a lovely little episode about Rangers stop in Chicago on the 1930 North American tour, one of the two Struth tours of North America. And my plan at the time was to do a wonderful series that were all kind of like that show. The problem I ran into is that I know more about Chicago than any of these other places that we stopped on these tours, and more about the club that we played and the people involved and everything about it. And so I struggled for a very, very long time on how to put together the rest of these. There's a lot sitting in cans partway done. Some of which I think are pretty interesting, but some of which I just thought I'd never really, I just didn't get them to where I wanted to. I didn't get them to the space where a Chicago show was. But then I thought, hey, the Chicago show was a great way to introduce you guys to all this stuff. Why don't I make the rest of the shows a little bit shorter, a little bit more compact, and maybe we can get through some more of these sides? Because there really was a lot of time spent in that initial Chicago show laying out some basic information about how those tours worked, especially the 1931. So along came Fall River Marksman FC, the reborn, reconstituted version of one of the great iconic clubs of the 20s and 30s, really the heyday of club football as we understand it in North America. And whoever's in charge of our Twitter account had come across some, well, just tweets of mine about our experiences playing them back during the Struth tours. And so that brought this whole project back into mind for me, and again made me think about how I could do this. And so with that, we're back with the series I started back in June of 2021 while we were still basically just doing this on Heart and Hand, Rangers from Sea to Shining Sea. And we're going to take a look at the Fall River Marksmen. So stick around for this quick ad break, and we're going to come back and talk about our three showdowns with them from the 1928 and 1930 tour. Somewhere, beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So Fall River, Massachusetts, a site, well, actually, we don't even play any of these matches here, so we could kind of skip this part if we wanted to, but the home, nominally, of Rangers opponents for these three matches, Fall River there on the Kickachan River. I'm sure our good buddy Rob McDougall out there will correct me about that, but it's down there in southern Massachusetts, right there on the border of Rhode Island. Famously, a massive textile hub during the 1800s and into the early 1900s. You might know it as the home of Lizzie Borden, who may or may not have hacked her family to death. But it was a football hub due to Sam Mark, who was, well, this is where the name of the club comes from, Fall River Marksmen, who established this club back in the 20s and 30s, again, as one of the most dominant clubs in North America. Their first season in the old American Soccer League, which was an actual first division at the time. They finished third. And they went on to win six leagues over the next nine or so seasons there before, we'll talk about what happens to them here at the end. But this was a club, kind of like we talked about with Chicago Sparta, that drew on, European immigrants mostly to fill its sides. Obviously, it was Sparta and Chicago, again, the topic of the first one here. They drew on more of Eastern Europeans that lived on the southwest side of Chicago. The marksmen, though, were predominantly drawn from Scotch and Scotch-Irish immigrants who'd settled in the area to work in the textile mills there. And actually, from what I can tell here, we'll get through the 1928 match here first, because this is on the first North American tour for Struth. And again, I mean, this is a time when there are a lot of clubs doing these tours around then. Preston North End would also tour in 1928. Real Madrid had toured just the year before. I want to say Sparta Prague toured in 1926. And so Struth obviously saw the commercial benefit to this that many other clubs were starting to see throughout Europe. And the 28 tour is the shorter one of the two. Again, if you want some more about the 1930 tour, please go back and listen to the first episode of the series, one in our stop in Chicago that year. But 1928's 10 stops, landing in New York in late May, and only a couple in Canada. The 30 tour was more of a Canadian tour than this one. But again, on June 3rd, we play the Fall River Marksmen. Now, in 1928, and I'll include some video of this down in the show notes. Anything I'm talking about here that I think you guys might want to go take a look at. But in 1928, in February, Fall River is nearly burnt, goddamn near the ground. Certainly the central business hub and the textile areas, by a massive fire, the second great fire to befall the city. I want to say the first one was in 1843. But this fire, again, I mean, it nearly consumed the whole town. Now there is a point here, because a lot of the historical notes on this say that Rangers actually played Fall River in Fall River, Massachusetts. Now, I cannot find anything contemporaneously to actually confirm that. I would find it kind of odd, given that Mark's Stadium, which again, Sam Mark had built after he took over Fall River United and renamed them, was right across the border. I mean, literally steps across the border in North Tiverton, Rhode Island, and that is where the home of the club was. So, it was a unique track. I mean, it had a L-shaped main stand, so it was used for baseball, semi-professional baseball a lot, which you see in a lot of these grounds of that era. It was built soccer specific, but he built it in a way that could be used for these other ventures. And it also had a dirt track for automobile racing, which apparently used up until the 1950s, which constricted the size of the football pitch. Now the ground could hold 15,000 people, which again, I think it's one of these misnomers and something that I would like to do an episode on in terms of how popular club football was at this time. Again, we saw Chicago Sparta, again, that we talked about in the last episode, had their own ground on the south side of Chicago that seated about 20,000 people. So Mark Stadium here seeing 15,000 was certainly, right in the same space that we see a lot of these grounds of the time. And, not only were they, well, not only did we play there in 1928, but the Italian league sent a top 11 over there to play it. And actually, Kilmarnock played in the stadium at one point, too. So we can draw that one right back around. The 1928 stop ends up being one of the more uneventful stops across the 24 made in the Struth, the two tours there, 28 and 30. The stop is actually one of only three times in which Rangers failed to win on these tours. Of course, in 1930, we took all 14 matches on the tour. In 1928, a little bit more struggle. We would draw Fall River here, nil-nil on June 3rd. And again, in Detroit on June 10th against invariably either described as a Detroit, you know, all-star team or a Michigan 11. I would assume pretty much all the footballers from Michigan at the time would have come from Detroit. But we draw them 1-1. And then the Boston Wonder Workers, who quick little note here, because I'm never going to do an episode on this. Mainly because it has to deal with Boston, and I'm just not going to spend my time talking about them. But in 1924, and again, this just goes back to how much money was being pumped into the American Soccer League at this time, and really club football in general across the country. I mean, prior to the Depression, it was really growing at a steady rate, commiserate with baseball and, of course, the nascent National Football League and whatnot. I mean, football over here was doing quite well. And the Boston Wonder Workers had lured, of course, one of our famous players from the early part of the century there, Tommy Muirhead, over to be a player manager for the club after the 1924 season. Now, Muirhead at this point had already racked up over 150 appearances for Rangers. And he came over, and the owner tried to appease him. He signed a few more Scots to go along with him. Alex McNabb and Barney Battles, both players who would make, pretty good careers here. Of course, Battles, some of you, you're going to know from Hearts more than over here. McNabb won a shit ton of trophies over here during his time. So, but Muirhead only made it 14 games. He made about 2.5 months over here and just couldn't settle in Boston. Imagine that. And so he took the opportunity, telegraphed Struth, and got on a boat and went back home and asked for his old gig back. And Bill was happy to oblige. And of course, he wanted to make about another 130 to 140 appearances for the club before retiring from playing in 1930. But again, Rangers drew with Fall River on this appearance, and there are some bigger names of the era playing for Fall River. A lot of these teams famously would loan players around for these matches, and certainly try to get in some more, well, it's Scottish names, or at least names, you know, that would look more familiar to the people coming to watch Rangers. We talked about a couple in the Sparta episode. One of them being Wee Willie McLean, who was one of the more famous players of the era, and one who, well, I mean, his mythos just grew after that from having, well, effectively disappeared not long after facing Rangers. But this side, like many other day, again, featured some of the more prominent players. And, you know, if you look down the last names, I mean, none of them are going to shock you. You got, like, McCauley's, McPherson's, Doyle's, Ballantyne's, Blair's, Kelly's, Douglas's, you know. So it's a lot of the... You really either had, with a lot of these clubs of the era, you either had, you know, your Italian clubs or your Eastern European clubs, or you had clubs pretty much built from Scots. And many of the ones, again, that Rangers played generally had the more Scottish influence, or even if they were a club like Sparta, again, would go out and draft in some of these guys. So 1928, again, comes and goes. Fall River, I mean, give them credit, one of the few teams Rangers didn't trounce in these two tours. Again, held us to a nil-nil at their home ground there. Another quick note here on the 1928 tour, and I'm sure this is a club, and I'm sure a player we're going to come back to later, but Struth did also use this opportunity to as a scouting venture. Again, a lot of these players were either from the Scotland or Northern Ireland or England, and you know, some of them were more than willing to take the opportunity to go home. And, of course, one famously on this 28 tour was Bob Whitey McDonald, who was from Northern Ireland. You know, obviously just Ireland at the time he was born. But his family had emigrated to Hamilton, Ontario, which I think a lot of listeners will know is a common stopping point for families of that era. And he came up through well, it was a Hamilton Thistle and Toronto Ulster, a couple of the bigger Canadian clubs, before moving on down to Bethlehem Steel, who, again, like the Fall Riverside, were one of the bigger clubs, one of the more recognizable clubs, and a brand, much like Fall River, that was dragged out as you know, I mean, football, again, became more prominent over here during the 90s and into the 2000s. So, actually, you know what? I think right here, this is a good time for a break, because Bethlehem Steel are going to come up in the second part of this, where we look at the two Fall River matchups of 1930, a little bit more intrigue, a little bit more interesting than the one in 1928. So I come right back. We're going to take a look at those two.
Way down here, you need a reason to move. Feel a fool running your stateside.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to Rangers from Sea to Shining Sea, the Fall River Marksman Edition. I could have picked a slightly easier name for this series, or at least one that's easier for me to say. So we move along here in 1930. Now, like 1928, Rangers had won the first double in the club's history. In 1930... Of course, we had won what many were calling the clean sweep or a grand slam of titles. We'd won, of course, the league for the 19th time, and then not only that, but the Scottish Cup, the Glasgow Cup, and the Glasgow Merchants Charity Cup. And again, for a lot more, you know, preamble on the 1930 tour, go back and revisit that Chicago Sparta episode. But just to get to the marksman here, now on May 30th, this is the fourth stop on the tour. And we actually played them in New Bedford, Massachusetts. So again, not in Fall River. You're going to find this being a trend. we played them at what was then Battery Park, I believe. And if somebody wants to come in and tell me that I'm wrong, but I think I'm not. That's what we now know as the Riverside Park in New Bedford. Rangers come out the 3-2 winners this time. So we do take care of the marksman. Although, to be fair, Rangers took the lead at halftime with goals from Brown, Meiklejohn, and Smith. 3-0 lead in the half in front of 8,000. And then Fall River fought back in the second half there with goals from Gonzalez, definitely not one of their scouts, and Nielsen to make it a 3-2 affair. So, you know, they... I'm not kidding when I say that this team probably played us better over these two tours. And a lot of the men who were there in 1928 are back here for them again. You've got the couple McCauleys, Tech White, Bill McPherson. So you got some of these players who were there for the Fall Riverside in 28 coming back. Fall River itself at this time is planning a tour of Central Europe. And one of the big sending offs was going to be playing us the second time around on this tour, right? And this was actually our final match of the 1930 North American tour, played at the Polo Grounds, the home of the New York baseball and football giants. Now, this not only, again, the last match of the tour for us, but sending off for Fall River, getting ready to go on this this tour. Only 12,000 show ups, a little bit smaller crowd than we got the first time around through the Polo Grounds on this tour. Although, from what I can see from the contemporaries' accounts, it was raining quite badly. Rain on the 1930 tour sort of became a, well, just a mainstay. I think the initial shout out to the West Coast through Canada and whatnot seemed to go pretty well. It was pretty much once we turned back and started coming back across the Midwest that, goddamn near every match was playing in some kind of torrential downpour. I mean, the Chicago Sparta match on June 15th of 1930 was played in, by some accounts, was like hurricane conditions. A few days later in Detroit, still pissing down rain. Cleveland, a couple days after that, we get some more storms coming through. And so, you know, here we are at the last match. Again, a little bit smaller crowd, but still 12,000 in attendance. And really the only time that Fall River's dealt with across all these two tours. Although, again, for the first half, played us very well. It's only the 1-0 lead. Now, that lead grows greatly here in the second half. It's the two Jimmys, Smith and Fleming, that rack up the goals for us on that day. Jimmy Smith with four, Fleming with two. So Rangers roll out 6-1 winners. And you see this a lot in the score lines, especially the 1930 tour. But, you know, while we'd obviously played a more extensive league campaign than we'd ever played up to that point, we still were a much better side than many of these. And we were at end of season form while a lot of these clubs were really just getting their seasons underway. But again, they were also playing, by all accounts, of course, one of the best sides in Europe. So Fall River, though, their goal scorer on this day is a man by the name of Archie Stark. Archie Stark, who, now I told you all to remember Bethlehem Steel a little bit earlier, right? So Bethlehem Steel, again, a great club in this time, again, with the ASL and the money flowing in and everything else. Bethlehem Steel is winning trophy after trophy, and Archie Stark is scoring goal after goal after goal. I mean, this guy was a damn machine. And for the longest time, the FIFA actually credited him this. In his first season, he scored 67 in 44 league matches and gave him credit as the top individual season goal scorer of all time. That this young man, Ken from Glasgow, won't shock you, who moves over here when he's about 12 or 13 years old, and his family settles into New Jersey, where you know Archie soon starts drawing plaudits as one of the better footballers in the area. So again, Bethlehem Steel come calling here. This is 1924. This is really the heyday of the club. Football is recovering after World War I, which Stark had actually served in. He'd served in France briefly toward the end there. And he tears up fucking American soccer for the next, 5-6 years there. He's in 221 appearances overall. Stark scored 240 goals for Bethlehem Steel, right? And he also grabs his only two caps for the men's national team, both against Canada. And he ends up, there is still some debate on this, but it seems to be the consensus now that in his second appearance, it's a 6-1 win over Canada in 1925. He scores 5 of the 6 goals in that match. He ends up declining an invite to join the U.S. squad for the 1930 World Cup, because what happens is Bethlehem Steel go broke in 1930, like just gen up, busted, right? Straight out of fucking business. And the ASL, itself is kind of on its last legs. There's some more leagues that are cropping up here. Bethlehem Steel actually joined the ESL, the competitive league. There's a lot going on here, and you might notice a little bit of a connection with the timeline here. That of course this is the beginning of the Great Depression as well. So there's a lot of financial strain suddenly being employed on football. Not only football, but obviously all the other sports throughout the USA too. Nearly every professional sport in this country almost folded at some point during the Depression, with the exception, of course, of Major League Baseball, who had Babe Ruth. Now, Archie Stark, seeing the writing on the wall and deciding, I kind of need to get a paycheck while I still can, decides to join the Fall River Marksmen on their tour of Europe. As I was saying, the last match of our tour there at the Polo Grounds in New York was kind of their big send-off as they went on this grand, extravagant tour of Central Europe. And this really, sadly, is the end of the golden era of the Fall River Marksmen. Because, they get over there and, they start on this tour. So it's mostly 6 games throughout Czechoslovakia, Austria, and Hungary. And again, some of these names that we'd seen throughout the sides, whether it's McPherson or Alex McNabb, that they go on this tour. Now, Billy Gonsalves and a couple of their other bigger players go to the World Cup, which is why they bring in Archie Stark. You're talking about the preeminent goal scorer in American football at this time. And so they travel over there. They open their tour. This is the second or third week of August with a 2-2 tie against Slavia Prague. Again, it had come over in 26 and on their tour had played the Marksmen, who actually topped them on that day, 3-2. So they play a 2-2 tie there on August 20th. The last one that they lose on August 31st, they're playing Ferencváros there in Budapest. And the Fall River management, they decide to end the tour early because they're not getting the amount of money off the gates that they thought they would. Apparently the Central European teams weren't quite as generous as the American teams have been in terms of financing the people coming to play them. Problem here is that not only is this bad for business overall, but it's bad for the squad because the club's pretty much goddamn out of money. Again, the Depression already, this is 1930, it's really starting to dive in. So, these textile companies that were funding the work of the Fall River Marksman Club are not really gaining it anymore. And the players themselves all had to go secure third class passage back to the United States. Many of them not getting back until October, middle of October. So, almost 8 weeks later. So yeah, that was pretty much it for the Fall River Marksmen, sadly. They started the fall 1930 season late. They do win their seventh league title, even though they missed a few games. And they come back in the 1931 season. They merged with a club from New York called and renamed the New York Yankees. What a clever name that is. And they do they play one final season in the ASL. Again, the ASL itself is about to fold. And the massive financial troubles anyway. They don't win the title in 31 after this merger. A lot of their players start shipping off, and while they do still win they win the National Challenge Cup, what we now call the U.S. Open Cup in 1931, and they win it still as the Marksmen, not as the Yankees. That was it. 1931, just a little bit over a year after facing us as part of these two Spruce tours, the Fall River Marksmen, they were gone. One of the great football clubs of the era just wrapped up and disappeared. There's a good end to this story, though. I will give them credit. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning, all this came up because the current Fall River Marksman FC had highlighted something that posted on Twitter about this whole ordeal. They actually celebrated. Now, granted, this is a little bit of fuzzy math on their part, but God bless them. It is the 100th birthday or this year of the Fall River Marksman, founded on July 22nd, 1922 there. And that's where, again, all this came out of, was them celebrating their birthday and me talking about this kind of random crap on Twitter, as many of you know I'm prone to do. But in 2019, a group of fans and then some people with some money got back together and reconstituted the Fall River Football Club, again, now known as Fall River Marksman FC. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, to be honest. You know, they've come back. They've started playing football, and so God bless them. Go do it. But yeah, that's it. There you go. That's the story of Archie Stark, a boy from Glasgow who put one in against Rangers and then got stranded in Budapest. And that's the story of the Fall River Marksmen and their trials against Rangers, which, unlike Chicago Sparta, who still play today, I mean, effectively, their story ends about when we get on the boat to leave North America in 1930. That was pretty much the end of it for them. So, like I said, I'm going to keep trying to do more of these series. Now that I have an idea of how I want to do them, I don't need to overproduce them like I did with that first one. If you like this kind of history shit, you're going to listen to it. If you do like this kind of stuff, please scroll down in the show notes. There's a Buy Me a Coffee link. You can help me out. Helps out, you know, anybody who listens to the regular show knows almost every single thing I use has broken over the past couple months that, go into making not only the Crow Pod, but the Watergate series, the Desert Island series, or just anything in which I talk into a microphone. So, but that's it. That's it for this episode of Rangers from Sea to Shining Sea. If there is a club or a matchup or anything that you would like to go back or you would like me to go back and take a look at, please reach out. You guys know how to find me on Twitter. If not, it's at Avoid. You can always email me, shane@thecopelandroad.org. You can find me in a lot of damn different places. So if there is something, I don't know, even if there's a ground that we've played at that interests you from years past, let me know. Like I said, I have some of these shows mostly in the can, so I'm going to go back and rework some of them, tweak them, and try to get them out here, one every other couple weeks or so. But hopefully, like I said, you enjoyed this look at the Fall River Marksmen and Rangers three stops against them in the Bill Struth era. And again, like, if you do like it, please hit up the Buy Me a Coffee link. There's always charities down there in the show notes that we support too. And we will be back, I'm sure, with a regular Crow Pod at some point soon, or a Desert Island, or a Watergate show, or God knows what else that you'll want to listen to. So thanks very much, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Some people call me the space cowboy.